How many of you are familiar with the story, very famous Bible story, David and Goliath? Little recap of that story, basically in a thumbnail. It's a young man defeating a great giant. David is the little guy, and Goliath is this huge warrior. And when David steps onto the field of battle, he just has a slingshot. Unusual choice of weapons, but that's what he had, and 5 stones. And he defeated the giant. Can anyone tell me how he did that? How did he defeat that giant? Faith, yes, I would say faith is part of that, which means he was, what does faith mean? He was putting his trust in God. I would say it like this. He was looking over the giant's head. He didn't focus on Goliath. He focused on God. And I want to talk to you today about where your focus is. Is your focus on people or on God? Because if you focus on people, you can be filled with fear. There were all kinds of warriors that surrounded David that didn't go onto the field of battle. Why? Because they were focused on Goliath. They were terrorized. They had the fear of Goliath in their soul. But David steps onto the field of battle. He looks over Goliath's head, and he looks to God. And because of that, he defeats this incredible opposition. And you're going to face some opposition this week. There's some good news for you. And you're going to face a Goliath in your life. Here's the Goliath you're going to face this week. I promise you. You're going to face the fear of what people think about you. In the office, in your community, on your street, what do people think about me? And I want to show you that this young man that was fearless on the battlefield with Goliath still battled with fear over and over and over again. You can have a fearless moment and still face fears the very next day. Here's what happened to David. He defeated Goliath, which made him very popular in his communities, and they started to write songs about him. One of the songs went to the top 40 chart, and it started to go up the chart. Every week it was charting higher and higher. They created a little dance that went with it. It was called the David Dance, and the song went something like this. Saul has slain his thousands, but David, he slew more. Saul slayed his thousands, but David slayed his 10,000s. Do you like 1,000s or do you like 10,000s? And David is a mighty warrior. A very popular song. You can tell just by the way the tune goes. This incredible little song there. And finally, this song made its way to the palace. And the king heard it, and he wasn't pleased, because kings like to be popular, like politicians. And what he saw was he was declining in the popular vote, and David was increasing. So he actually comes after David. And at that moment, this fearless young man, David, became filled with fear. He was filled with the fear of Saul. He was filled with the fear. Have you ever been filled with fear? He was filled with fear. So much so that 1 Samuel 17 tells us here was his plan. He was going to go hide out. Interesting. He chose to go hide out with the Philistines. Does anybody know that Goliath was a Philistine? So he goes to hide out with the Philistines. In fact, 1 Samuel 17 says he goes to the hometown of Goliath. Why does he go there? Because he's filled with the fear of Saul. While he's there, the king, who is called King Abimelech, that was the Philistine king, finds out David is hiding out in the hometown of Goliath. And he comes for David. And David when he hears that the king of the Philistines is coming, he's not fearless, he's filled with fear. He's so filled with fear that he comes up with a plan. And if you have your Bible open to Psalm 34, or your device, Psalm 34, I don't want you to look at verse 1. I want you to look at the superscription above line 1. This will help you to understand what's going on here. Can you see what it says? Before verse 1 comes the description of the psalm. And actually, it's an important part of the scripture. Don't discount those little words above. In fact, look this way. I know you're looking down to find that superscription, what's above the verse 1. But look this way. Psalm 34 in the Hebrew language is an acrostic. It takes each letter of the Hebrew alphabet that starts another phrase. And it was to make the psalm easy to memorize because the Lord wanted people to learn the lessons of Psalm 34. So he makes it an easy to memorize psalm in the original language. And the first letter starts not with verse 1. Part of the scripture is the words above verse 1. Can you see what they say there? It says that this is a psalm of David, right? Who, what does it say? Who pretended to be insane. There's something. So it's setting the psalm up. It says, okay, David wrote this after his experience of being in Philistine and King Abimelech coming him. He's filled with a fear of Saul. That's why he's hiding out. He's filled with now a fear of King Abimelech, and he pretends that he is crazy. Now, get this. If you are filled with a fear of people, it will drive you crazy. Or you'll at least do, I promise you this, you will at least do some crazy stuff. And I don't know, it doesn't say what he did to pretend he was insane, but here's this mighty warrior that took on Goliath, that looked over Goliath's head, that said, I don't care, I'm not looking at you, Goliath, God's going to see me through, he's going to be my defender, and I'm coming to you with not a sword, just a little slingshot. Now that same man is filled with fear, because here's something we all battle, brothers and sisters, friends. We all battle with the fear of what other people think about us. And the whole Psalm 34 is a psalm, a teaching, a scripture that calls us to stop fearing people. And we're going to read it. We'll look through it, and I'd love you to read it after. And to start, watch this, start, this is the phrase that's used in Psalm 34, start fearing the Lord. Now, when it talks about fearing the Lord, it's not saying being afraid of God. It's talking about focusing on God. It's talking about reverencing God. It's talking about get your eyes off people because it'll drive you crazy. And get your eyes on the Lord. That's why this psalm is written. In fact, let me give you some bonus material. You're taking some notes. You may want to just jot down a Psalm 56. Psalm 56 is the psalm that David prays. It's part of this experience as well, that he prays. It's a prayer of repentance as he says, I've got to stop being afraid of people, and I've got to get back to fearing the Lord. In fact, just jot down this verse, and you can look it up. Well, you could look it up now, but you'll get off track from Psalm 34. But it says in verse 11, I trust in God. This is Psalm 56, verse 11. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid of what the people can do to me? He's making this transition in prayer. From fearing people, I'm not going to fear people. I'm going to fear, trust, put my hope in the Lord. And when you do that, it changes the outcome of your life. And so we're going to look at four truths from Psalm 34, four truths about walking in the reality of being set free from what people think of me. Let's pray a prayer. We'll pray it out loud together, those that would like to. And the prayer is this. Lord, set me free from what people think of me. That's the essence of Psalm 34. A Psalm of David that was written when he was pretending to be insane because he was filled with fear. Psalm 34 is his journey and his result of coming out of that fear. Now, here's what happens. Verse 1, you'll find out that when you are set free from fearing people, you are filled with gratitude. In fact, I love the way that this psalm starts. It's one of my favorites. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord about 50% of the time. Not what it says, right? I will bless the Lord, give it to me. I will bless the Lord at all times. Watch this. His praise will always be on my lips. When you are afraid of people, you're going to have some strange stuff comes out of your lips. When you get your focus on the Lord, what's called the fear of the Lord or the reverence of the Lord or a focus on the Lord, your mouth is going to, the way you talk is going to change because you stop talking fear and you start talking faith. You start looking at Goliath and saying, who do you think you are? My God is greater than a 9-foot giant. My God is bigger than the problem I face at work. My God is bigger. My God is bigger than what you think of me. If you watch Goliath on the field, he tries to intimidate David. He tries to put David down. He tries to put the Lord down. And David says, that doesn't matter. I have my focus on the Lord. And because of that, it fills our mouth with faith. I will bless the Lord at all times. And here's what happens. Look at verse 2. The people around you start to see and hear the words that come out of your mouth. And it actually encourages them. Now, when you are filled with the fear of people, you'll be a discouraging word will come out of your mouth, and you'll be discouraging the people around you. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. But when you are filled with faith, I will bless the Lord at all times. Verse 2 says, watch this. Can you see it there in your outline or in your Bible? The afflicted here. I will boast in the Lord. I'm going to talk about what God can do. My circumstance. I'm going to talk about what God can do. I'm going to boast in the Lord, and the afflicted will hear. Who are the afflicted? There are those other people that surround you that are filled with fear. Going to work in fear. Going to school in fear. They're filled with fear. And when they hear the words that come out of your mouth, they start to hear your language of faith, and the afflicted hear it. And what do they start to do? They start to rejoice. So your language, the words coming out of your mouth, starts to lift the people around you, so much so that verse 3 says they start to join you in that position of faith. They watch your journey from fearing people to fearing the Lord. And verse 3 says, glorify the Lord with me. Keep your mouth speaking faith. And watch this. Let us, you see what it says? Let us exalt his name together. Who's the us? Well, verse 2 says it's those afflicted people. They go from being afflicted to joining you on the journey, and they are filled with gratitude. Can you see that? So I would just do an inventory of your language this last week. Or maybe this morning. How'd you get up? What came out of your mouth? When you're in conflict with people, you're not blessing the Lord at all times. Right? There's all kinds of stuff coming out of your mouth when you're fighting with people. And lots of it doesn't glorify the Lord. But gratitude is the language of heaven and the language of faith. The second thing we find in this truth we find is that not only do we come to a place of gratitude, but secondly, we come to a place of incredible freedom. Because when we prayed that prayer earlier, what was that prayer we prayed? What was it? It wasn't that long ago. This is like a test to see how your brain is working today. What was that prayer? We prayed a prayer out loud. We all did it together. It was a simple little prayer, about one sentence long. What was it? You wrote it down. That's good. You got it. That's good. You're going to remember that prayer. Lord, set me free from what people think of me. When you get to that place, you are incredibly free. Watch what verse 4 says. I sought the Lord. So where's his focus? Is his focus on Abimelech now? No. Is his focus on Saul now? No. Who's his focus on? I sought the Lord. I'm taking my focus off of people, and I'm putting it on the Lord. I'm taking my focus off of Goliath, and I'm putting it on the Lord. And he's going to answer me, and he's going to deliver me. Watch what it says. You see what it says? He delivers me from, you get it? What's it say? From? Somebody needs this, because there's somebody in this room that is battling fear. And there is a solution in this verse. You know what it is? Get your eyes on God, and he will deliver you from, and he promises it, all my fears. Is there anybody like that? Would anybody like to be free from all your fears? If you're free from all your fears, you're dangerous. When you get unafraid of what people think of you, you get dangerous on the planet. The enemy, the adversary of our soul, the prince of darkness, uses fear of people to keep you contained. When you break free of that, you get dangerous. When you are free from all your fears, baby, you are free. That's what he says. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who looked to him were radiant. And their faces were never covered with shame. This poor man called out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There it is again, all. And the angel of the Lord encamps around about those who what? This is the emphasis in this psalm. He's shifting from fearing people, all of those that fear the Lord. You fear the Lord, and what does he do? He sets them free. He delivers them. He releases you from shame. Verse 5 says that. Many people that are living in the shame and pain of what people have done to them are living in habits that are hurting them. A lot of people mask the pain of shame with habits, and they are bound up. And God would like you to come to freedom. Watched a very interesting interview this past, maybe 2 weeks ago. Wasn't this last week, but the week before this last week. By a gospel musician named Russ Taff. And Russ is a little older, so I'm going to date myself. But Russ sang with the Imperials. Anybody know the Imperials? It's like, I know that dates me. But I'm just going to give you his story. Because here he was, a gospel artist, singing in front of thousands of people. I'm going to take a trip on that good old gospel ship. Oh, I love that song. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. That's a good, you should look that one up. You should Google that one. And going back to his hotel room after singing to the concert and getting smashed out of his mind because he was an alcoholic. And he talks about that journey. It was an incredible interview. And the source of his alcoholism was the pain and the shame of his young childhood. And that shame was because he was so connected to people. And he had to come to the grace of God. And he makes this journey from what people had done to him, what people had said about him, what people had thought about him that caused him to think a certain way about himself. He had to make the journey from what people had said to what God said. From what people thought about him to what God said about him. And when he came to that moment of grace, he was set free from his shame and his pain, and he lives in incredible freedom today. Thanks be to God. And what God did for us, God can do for you. Get away from people. Get focused on God. The third truth is this, that you will live an incredible life of strength. It will make you strong. And here's the language he uses to teach this. It's the language of eating. How many like eating? How many are going to eat sometime today? And here's what he watches this. He invites us to come to the table, and verse 8, he says, now taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, both tasting and seeing are experiences. Now, taste and see that the Lord is, what's it say? Good. Now, let me teach you this. When we come here, it's not just a mental exercise, learning some more facts about God. When we come into this place, we want to experience God in this place. We have a God who wants us to experience His presence and His power, His love. Not just think about Him, not just sing songs about Him. He invites us to taste and see. But when you are filled with the fear of people, it will keep you from fully experiencing God. I watch it happen all the time. You don't fully engage because you're worried about what the people around you are thinking. You are more conscious, you can be more conscious of the people around you during worship than you can be about God. I hope I'm wearing the right clothes. I hope I'm singing on tune. I hope I'm not too loud. I hope I'm not too soft. I don't know if I like this song anyway. I think they chose the wrong one. Taste and see. Get beyond the people. Get over yourself. And get your focus on the Lord, and you will find Him to be good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man and the woman, you get in on this, who takes refuge in Him. Watch this, verse 9. What's it say? Can you see it over and over again? What's it say? It's up on the screen, I think. It's on your notes. You can't miss it. It says 9. And then there's words after it. Why? Because this psalm is David's journey from fearing Abimelech, from fearing Saul, to coming back to fear the Lord, to get his focus off of people onto God. Fear the Lord. You His saints? Any saints in the house? How about some ain'ts? God loves the saints and the ain'ts, but you all could go out of here. Saints and sinners, He loves us all. For those who watch this, those who fear Him, reverence Him, focus on Him rather than people, lack nothing. Now the young lions grow weak when they don't eat, when they don't taste and see, when they don't experience. That's the parallel he's drawing. The young lions grow weak and they get hungry. What he's saying is if you stay over here with your focus on Saul the king and Abimelech the king and your boss the king, even your pastor the king. Not about pleasing me, guys. It's about pleasing the Lord. Get your eyes on Him. Taste and see that He's good. For those that fear Him lack nothing. Some of you are looking to people to meet needs in your life and make you strong, and they can't do it. Some of you are looking to a spouse. Some of you are looking to a human relationship. You've got your focus on people, and it leaves you hungry like those young lions. You are not satisfied. And David found that is true when he was hiding under the table, drooling and pretending he was crazy. He said, this is not a satisfying life. I don't know what he did to act crazy, but I'm sure it was crazy. And he said, that was not the way to live. That was a hungry way. I want to come to a place of strength. And then the last thing I'm going to just point out is that that helps you to see what I'm calling the big picture. It's to see life from God's point of view. When you fear a person, you are looking at a tree. When you back up and start to see the whole work of God, the big picture, it diminishes your fear of individuals. When David stepped onto the field with Goliath, he wasn't looking at Goliath. He was looking at the big picture. He saw that this was a spiritual conflict between God, between God's people, and the enemies of God's people. And he said, you come against me with sword and shield, but I come in the name of the Lord. He had the big picture, and the big picture will bring you to a better way of living. Here's his call. Here's his encouragement. Come, verse 11, come, children. It's inviting all of us. Me, you, all of us, listen to me, and I'm going to teach you something. What's he want to teach us? What's he want to teach you? He wants to teach us this. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord, because the fear of people leaves you high and dry and busted and disgusted. I want to teach you the fear of the Lord, and you'll have such a healthier lifestyle. First of all, he says, you'll live more honestly. Let me teach you the fear of the Lord, because when you get the big picture, you start to live a honest life. You stop lying so much. Let me tell you, when you have a fear of people, you lie a lot. Why? Because you're always afraid of what they're going to think. So you lie. And he says this. He says, whoever of you loves life and desires to see many days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Now, David had a problem with lying, if you study his life, and it created all kinds of problems for him. When his wife was helping him escape one day, he said, put a dummy in my bed so I can deceive the guards that they will think that I'm in bed, but I'm really sneaking out the window. When he was invited to a banquet by the king, he said, Jonathan, I need you to lie for me. I need you to tell the king I couldn't be there, and he made up a lie. Even some priests, he met some priests one day, and he says, I'm here on special assignment from the king, and that was a lie. He had a problem with the truth, and how many know he had a problem with the truth that led him into the bed of another man's wife? You know that part of the story? And then he had her husband killed. Why? Because he was afraid of what people would think. Right? So it's not that David is perfect at all these things. We have this imperfect prophet prophesying to us today, saying, hey, let me tell you my journey. When you're filled with fear, it messes you up. But if you come to a fear of the Lord, a reverence of the Lord, it's going to make you wholer. You're going to have more language on your lips. It's going to be honest and true. It's going to give you greater peace, verse 14. You just have greater peace when your focus and your reverence is on the Lord. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace. This is a peaceful way of living. Even when you face incredible opposition, incredible giants, it's a peaceful way of living. It's a life of victory. It's the victory that he won over Goliath, and it's the victory that we enjoy today. It's a life of victory. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them and delivers them, sets them free, gives them victory in every circumstance from all your troubles. And then the last thing I'm just going to point out, it's a lifestyle where you get to walk with God as your closest friend, even though you've been through brokenness. And we're literally reading the words of a man who understood the brokenness of life. He went from defeating Goliath to hiding under a kitchen table pretending he was insane. He knew what it was like to be broken. And he says, listen, when you are broken, God doesn't push you aside. He actually comes close to you. He will be a close friend to those are, can you see it? Who are brokenhearted, or the original language, those who are broken and those who are crushed. He will be close to those who are broken, who have blown it. Who maybe you've had a great success. Maybe you've defeated a Goliath. Because in that moment you are fearless. But today, you've been filled with fear, worried about what other people think. It's caused you to compromise. It's caused you to get into lifestyle choices that haven't been healthy. He says, hey, I know how that is. And there's not one person in the room that is so broken, so crushed, that the Lord doesn't say, hey, I'm especially fond of people who are broken and crushed. I actually draw close to them. I will be the best friend you ever had. Did God ever give up on David? No. God was with David when he faced Goliath, and God was with David when he was pretending to be insane. He drew close to him. God was with David when he blew it with Bathsheba and committed adultery. Because no matter what we have done, he's always calling our attention, the focus of our life. Get your eyes off people. You stop living for people. Stop being a people pleaser. Stop and get your eyes over here. Your focus of your life, the faith of your life, the respect of your life, the reverence of your life. And I will come into your life even when you're broken and crushed, and I will walk with you, and I will make you whole. And this is a constant course adjustment that we all make. We always make. David did this many times in his life. So sometimes we preach David and Goliath, but we forget David under the kitchen table drooling on the floor. But God loved David. When he was with Goliath, he was with him. And when he was drooling on the floor under the kitchen table, he was with him, always calling him to learn. Hey, David, what I'd like you to do is learn the fear of the Lord, to learn to put the attention of your life on God instead of on people, and you will become dangerous on the planet if you live that way. One more time we pray it. God, set me free from what other people think of me, in Jesus' name. And all the church says, amen. Let's stand together for prayer. Our prayer team is going to come. If you would be so kind, prayer team, just to prepare your hearts and your life to minister to God's people. As we close our eyes for this moment of prayer, meditation, to be aware that God's presence is here in this place surrounding you. If you've got your eyes on people, that's unhealthy. You'll have lots of discouragement. Your mouth will be speaking weird stuff. It'll leave you crazy. And just in this moment, God calls you to put your attention, the reverence, the focus of your life back on the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to do it in prayer. We're going to open our hearts together to the light and the love of God, to Jesus. And he's going to come and he's going to fill us with his spirit, with his attitude, with his mind. And there's no one in this room that's so broken that Jesus can't put the pieces back together again. There's no one so crushed that God can't pick up the pieces and bring you back to wholeness and health. And here's a prayer that invites the Spirit of Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to pray it with all the people around you. This is a community prayer, a joint prayer, a church prayer. And let's pray it together. Some of you praying it for maybe the first time, to open your heart and your soul to Jesus Christ. But we do that in prayer by simply praying, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I turn away from the darkness. I repent of my sins. I leave them behind. And I fix my eyes, my attention, my reverence on the Lord. I open my heart and my mind, my soul to Jesus Christ, to be my Savior, to be my Lord, to lead me and to guide me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for being my closest friend. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. That's a good prayer. Yeah, that's a good prayer. Begins things. So if you're praying that kind of prayer, you're beginning a conversation with God. And we encourage you to keep that conversation going, because God wants to hear from you. And if you prayed that kind of prayer, we'd love you to just to tell one of our prayer ministers before you go. Say, hey, I prayed with Scott. I'm getting back to Jesus, or I'm coming to Jesus for the first time. Come and tell one of them before you go in the next few moments of prayer. They're also here, our prayer team, just to pray for whatever needs you have. Maybe you've been filled with the fear of people. At the office, at work, filled with fear. There's lots of conflict because you're always living for people, people. And today you just say, would you help me just to pray that I would bring my attention back over to the Lord and live in His love and live in His honesty and His grace? So whatever your needs are, physical, emotional, spiritual, Jesus is in the house. The God of miracles is here. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are here to minister to you. And as we pray together, we're going to invite the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so this is a moment of prayer in the next few minutes. Also, if you'd like to receive communion and receive the grace of God through the bread of the Lord and through the cup of the Lord, come to one of the communion stations on the left or right-hand side and remember Jesus. Put your attention, focus on the Lord. Thank Him for dying on the cross for you, taking away all your sin, taking away all your shame, filling you with His living Spirit because He rose from the dead to be here and be the closest friend you've ever had. Experience Jesus today. The worship team will be bringing our attention towards the Lord through worship, and you can worship together. So if you're praying, come and pray. If you're taking communion, receive communion. If you're going, go with the grace of God. We got some fellowship after. Stick around if you can. You got some time just to break. We don't have bread, but we have, I think, cupcakes. Break a cupcake with people. See Pastor Jeff and Paul. I'll give them some kind words. If you've been a guest here, please stop by the VIP room. Back over here, we'd like to just meet you and greet you. But I want to pray a blessing. And after the blessing, there's no other benediction. We'll be praying with people. We'll be receiving communion. We'll be worshiping. We'll be going with the grace of God. But as you go, here's my prayer that you would be blessed and highly favored of the Lord. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lead you and guide you into the right paths at the right time. May this be an unusual week of opportunity, and may you just show up and know that you're in the right place at the right time. May you be set free from what other people think of you to live in the light and the love of the Lord, to be a pleaser of the Lord, a servant of the Lord. May Jesus fill you with his Spirit today, and may he fill you with his Spirit every day. I bless you in the strong, mighty, and majestic name of the resurrected Christ. And in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And all of God's kids say together, amen. Let's give the Lord just a praise and ovation. Love you so much, Church of Hope. Come forward for prayer, for communion. Receive from the Holy Spirit in these moments of grace.